Greetings, travelers, and welcome back to Esposito Dungeons and Dragons in space. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Sorry it's been a while. Life finds a way of getting in the way. It's been a busy nearly 2 years for everyone. Hence me doing the podcast today. Well, the intro to the podcast today, rather. In a very professional and planned out manner. So, a bit of an update. The majority of the cast of Esposito have had kids over the past couple of years. So we've welcomed Tom's little boy, Mike's had a lovely baby girl, and John has very recently welcomed his second little boy into the world as well. We are all immensely proud of him, and I guess collectively immensely proud of all the children that have come out of this group. Not this group specifically. I don't think we've had, well, certain members have had input into creating those children, but it's not been a group effort is what I'm trying to say. That being said, we're all very proud and supportive of each other and their respective children. Couldn't have phrased that any better, could I? Anyway, great. Welcome back, old listeners, and welcome new listeners. This is a side adventure from our usual campaigns, although at the same time, it's basically a mini campaign because there's elements of continuity here to previous characters from previous seasons, but you don't necessarily have to know that much about the characters to know that we're all idiots and mostly winging it. So this is a smaller campaign run by Mike. Unfortunately, other Tom wasn't available at the time of recording this because this coincided with the birth of his second child. So unfortunately, he won't be here for the season, but I hope you can forgive us and forgive Tom, really, for making those life choices, which we are supportive of. But it does really eat into D&D playing time. Or D&D in space playing time. Anyway, I've been nonsensical for long enough. Welcome to season 2.5 of Esposito. A season Mike has delightfully named Pull My Pinky.
Scary. When does this episode get released? Are we still here, or is this just playing to the wasteland?
I think this is just playing to the wasteland. This is the equivalent of Mad Dog Radio, isn't it?
To the people of the wasteland, I'm so sorry if this is all you have to listen to.
Honestly, if it's playing in the wasteland, it's probably going to get a few more listens.
Yeah, what else have I got? Let's start it with the new theme tune. I don't want to set the world on fire. Bit of the ink spots for you.
I thought our new theme com was tequila.
Da, 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 da. Oh yeah, tequila.
The Esposito.
It's just yet another unofficial sponsor.
Yep.
So what you're saying is that the nuclear holocaust is good for our podcast.
So one of two things will happen. Our listenership will go up because there's very little else to listen to. Or our listenership will remain roughly the same, but the population of the Earth would significantly drop, which means that a greater percentage of the population of the Earth are listening to us. Either way, we're more popular.
That's very optimistic thinking. Well, thank you.
The listenership will go up just enough for us to finally monetize this, but there'll be no currency or money. So
you can send bottle caps.
Think of all the delicious water we could get.
Oof.
Oh, we could get a shotgun. Turns out they're pretty expensive at the minute.
Also, 50 points if you got John's reference.
It comes from the only show I ever referenced. Well, no, I referenced Star Trek a lot too.
You reference lots of shows. You're a filthy nerd.
Hint, it's not Star Trek.
Aren't we all?
Although, I could probably make it Star Trek.
Does Community ever reference Star Trek?
Yeah.
I struggled to think of a specific reference, but... Oh, no, actually, there is a, one of the Halloween episodes. Pierce dresses up as William Shatner. I mean, Kirk.
I had the image in my head, and I wasn't sure if it was a nightmare I had.
Chevy Chase has food poisoning.
The real question is, does Star Trek ever reference Community?
Not
yet.
I'm pretty sure Discovery is riddled with references to Community.
Well, Star Trek is set in this world, isn't it? So Community is canon. It happened as a show in the past.
He's not wrong. Even in the Kelvin timeline, it exists. I don't really understand the Kelvin timeline, but it exists.
It's funny you want a movie franchise to have more explosions and lens flare.
Yeah, was the Kelvin franchise what came about because of the start of the first of the Chris Pine Star Treks?
Yes.
Right. Is Discovery part of that? Because I'm pretty sure what happens in Discovery happens before then.
I don't.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Trekkies. Bastards.
Because I feel like Discovery is not really part of either timeline. But maybe it is. I don't know.
Listener, if you could let us know.
Go on, Darren.
Fuck off. Single listener of the Wasteland.
Don't tell our only listener to fuck off.
Leave Darren alone.
Oh, Darren, I hope you choke on your water.
Also, please send us water. I'm assuming by the time this goes out, we'll need water. When we live in the UK, and apocalypse or not, it's going to be a rough winter.
Yeah. Even if the bombs don't fall, send us some water, please.
The bombs are probably one thing.
Aaron, by the way, is near the strike zone, which is why he's got such terrible signals, so he's coming through quite clipped.
Praise the atom.
I'm basically already in a nuclear wasteland called the Midlands.
He's not wrong. It is bleak.
Could be worse. Could be in Sheffield.
That's true. It could be much worse.
Fair point.
Where the first bomb dropped.
Sheffield, known for its strategic importance.
Yeah. It's actually got the most number of trees per person in Europe. So if you wanted to starve us of oxygen in the UK.
I don't think Putin's going to go for that. Really, if he's going to bomb anywhere, it would probably be Lincoln, because that's where they have all their RAF surveillance teams. MOD's coming for me now. Although it is like public information.
And it's also where most of the airfields are as well.
Yeah, because it's really flat. And generally quite an interesting. It does have that one hill that they call Steep Hill.
How steep is it?
It sounds like something Tolkien would do, doesn't it? We've got one really tall hill. Let's call it Steep Hill.
Yeah.
Shall we? Endeavour.
Are you going to introduce the miniseries?
Yeah. Go on, Mike.
Welcome.
Mike, the Games Master.
I am now the GM.
Oh, no.
For the next 4 or 5 sessions. So be prepared for shit to go down.
Yeah, GM in this case stands for General Menace.
Also, 4 or 5 sessions means we play 4 or 5 times, but it generally makes about 8 episodes.
Yeah. So, yeah, general mess, just as chaotic as the characters that I build and play. Get ready for some wacky shit in the search for Dora the Explorer. Parentheses. Pull my pinky. I even messed that up.
The magic of editing, we can improve that.
No, don't.
Also, where in the world is Dora the Explorer? It seemed like you could annoy more fandoms at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to get sued.
Mate, Carmen's coming for you.
Who owns that, Disney?
It's probably Disney owns everything now, or will by the time we publish this.
They might own us. In which case, we can reference it all we like. They're not interested in us.
The mouse is interested in everyone.
Why won't Disney love me? You give them so much money.
Right. Are we ready?
I doubt
intro. Intro underlined in bold now.
Is that where the music kicks in?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Wait. This is,
I like
this
how
is
that's
where
our version of special effects. They're saying underlined and in bold.
It's just what's in my Word document in front of me. Okay. Here we go. The vast expanse. Endless. Unwavering. Peels back on itself and coalesces into a miasma of vacancy. The arbitrary destination seems destined never to arrive, and the lack of an horizon has numbed the senses, making it hard to believe that you are still sentient. Deep into the rim, past Eldor, past Zeva, past the outer sectors, you don't think you've ever been this far out. You cast your mind back to the hollow invite you received a few weeks earlier. The hideous image of Dora the Explorer pointing her pinky towards you. The caption reading, "Your captain needs you." The coordinates on the invite give hope of an endpoint. Respite from the arduous cosmic distance you have put between yourself and the hospitable inner colonies. The screen in front of you blinks an almost mocking dance. One solid dot of promise. On, off. On, off. On, off. The hollow invite had a voice note that had followed that now replays in your head. "Rim me for my birthday bash in the join." No, no. Wait. Reverse it. "Join me for my birthday bash in the rim." Off. Fuck it. "Just come. No plus ones allowed, bitches." The coordinates that followed outlined a moon called Stardor. You'd never heard of this place, and it charted well past the outer rim. The word bitches echoes over and over in your head. Bitches, 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 bitches. Dragging you suddenly from the memory and ostensibly out of nowhere, the eternal emptiness drops from underneath you, and a warm globe, the colour of sunset, appears above you from the viewing port. At last, you think, let's get this over with. You start to power down your star drive. A sudden decrease in speed from faster than light brings on the familiar and almost welcome nausea that you expect. Checking the power of the Saurium core, near enough empty. You'll have to spend at least a day on this moon to recharge the drive for the journey back. Sigh. You should have known this was never going to be a simple trip. You pull into a lower orbit, and you're surprised suddenly by the strength of the gravity for such a small moon. It appears similar to that of Tessara and most of the inner planets, and entering the atmosphere is easy. You extend the landing gear and decrease speed as you enter a dust bowl. Sand and grit whipping up around you as you place yourself onto the soft ground below. You immediately power down the drive to save as much power as possible, and the low hum ceases finally. Out of your cockpit, you can see the familiar faded gold, almost brown now, plating of the Golden Rose, glowing slightly in the light of a nearby star. The moon seems to have little to no rotation, you can tell, and this side could be in perpetual day for all you know. You have arrived. Hood, you unstrap yourself from the captain's chair, steady on, and you begin to make your way to the exit of your ship. You do hear on your way out a snoring sound coming from the vents.
Lee Hud hammers on the vent and says, "Rebook, we're here."
Thank you. I was having the wildest dreams.
What about?
I'd rather not say. They were private Rebook dreams.
Fair enough. I'm going to go check for atmosphere on this goddamn rock.
You did notice as you arrived that there was another ship that had landed pretty much the same time as you. Both of you roll a quick history check.
Is that lore?
Oh, is that lore now? Yeah.
Okay. Space history. Yeah, lore. So 17. Minus
one. I got a 9.
Rebook, you know that this is the ship called Jefferson Starship. The Epsilon Shift from many, many years ago who saved the galaxy.
I'm trying to think of what the name that Tom actually gave it, because it had a different name that was translated it. I think it was Italian for Firefly.
It was the Lusitana, wasn't it?
The Luciola. The Luciola.
The Limoncello.
The Limoncello.
You know that this ship is the Luciola, which the Epsilon Shift piloted.
However, it does have written in very large lettering across its side, Jefferson Starship.
I feel like Jefferson Knight would have edited every Wikipedia entry in existence to make sure that it's...
Oh, absolutely. Why do you think, spoilers for season 3, everyone thinks that he was the captain of the crew?
Nah, bullshit.
You'll find out that everyone thinks that Jefferson Knight was the leader of the Epsilon Shift, and you'll be livid.
Wait, hold on. Because as GM, I control this universe right now, right? So...
No. This has happened. This has happened in the future.
No. Officially, that everyone thought Pax was the captain of Luciola.
Just you wait until I get into Wikipedia. Just you fucking wait.
Yeah, the SBC of Wikipedia.
Our specific Wikipedia, which I am going to create shortly. No. I don't know how to do Wikipedia.
Espedia?
It's not for me.
Espedia.
So Hunt's going to walk over to one of the viewing ports to sort of lead against the window. So, who's turned up in that old tub?
I think that belongs to those hacks who saved the galaxy from a less galaxy-spanning issue than we did. I feel like we've been shrouded by history a lot more than them. I mean, Wasp invasion, Trumps, whatever the fuck they were dealing with.
It was clones or something, right?
Badly designed starships? I can't remember. My history is good, but not that good.
Oh, God, are they trading standards? I don't need that kind of heat right now.
No, we have... Did we have brand name? Either way, it is... I would say our own. There's no issue with copyright law here.
Either way, I say we go prepared. And Hud's going to reach into an overhead locker, and he's going to grab his micro cannon and... Yeah, basically all of his weapons. He's going to spend a solid 5 minutes just grabbing his shotgun and flinging it over his shoulder, checking his disruptor pistol, and sliding down the barrel before he holsters it, sheathing and unsheathing his forearm blade, checking his small baton, charging his micro cannon, and then finally just hefting on his grenade launcher and clipping it to the small of his back.
There's something upsetting about the phrase sheathing and unsheathing his forearm blade.
Is that what you call it?
My. It's been a long journey.
So you do a tool-up montage.
Yeah.
As Rebook just stands and watches.
Oh, and he's also going to tweak his shoulder-mounted flamethrower.
Oh, man, I'm scanning my brain because there is a reference there where there's just a montage of someone gearing up as a method of intimidation. I'm pretty sure it's Archer, actually. I think of that. All right, cool. Move on.
Sounds like an argument. Rebook watches on, just like Private Rebook dream.
What was that?
Nothing. I was speaking to drone. I forget about all the time.
Oh yeah, wait a
second. A battered drone appears from the bench. There you are, drone. I forget the name of.
Covered in dust.
I'm sure, I have it written down on hand somewhere. No, I just call you drone.
You've always found that thing really unnerving, right? The way it always seems to have tendons and stuff.
It's just something of a murder hobo threat.
Does it come with attachments?
Many.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to.
The drone dough.
Optional extras.
Now we have a montage of Rebook just attaching attachments to his drone.
Just rotating and vibrating. Yeah.
I'm just imagining like Hoover attachments for some reason.
If we get to the stage where people do like fanfic pictures of this, it's going to get grim.
Oh no.
No, I also, and this, God bless this visual medium, only really translates to people that have seen the toy. But you know the stacker toy that Nicholas has, that has that kind of weird ribbed center that absolutely looks like a set. Whoever designed that children's toy knew exactly what they were doing.
Is it the one that's called Wankle?
No, it's not that, although that is hilarious. Wankle
the family.
I think that's just an expensive version of that toy. But
Yeah.
If no one knows what I'm talking about, Google Wankle.
No, we won't spell it for you.
An incognito mode, obviously.
No, at work.
It is safe for work. It actually is.
Search Wankle toy.
Just type really fast.
This is what happens when Tom isn't here to keep us on track. I get the feeling he's the only one that actually plays the
absolutely
game.
It feels like we're playing without Dad in the room.
Yeah. I mean, he is double daddy now. By the way, congratulations, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Big shout out to Tom. New little boy. Congratulations.
He's got a baby. A second one. The idiot.
Just the man also with a baby.
Only one.
For now.
Mike, when's your little one coming?
Is it January?
January the 20th is the due date. So a bleak midwinter baby. During the recession. The housing crash. The bomb.
And the nuclear winter.
Yeah.
Bring some light into the world.
He could be the one to save us. Or she.
At the very least, the other way is up. Right?
I've just got songs going through my head at the minute, like In the Bleak Midwinter, The Only Way Is Up. It's a real disco going on there.
Are you telling me to throw my baby in the air or something? I don't think that's good advice.
Hey, if it was good enough for Michael Jackson. That's not okay.
At least he put a napkin over their head. They didn't know they were in like imminent danger.
He didn't throw him in the air, just down from a very high building.
I'm starting to miss Tom. Where were we? We've landed. You've landed.
We rolled some dice. We've done that.
Have we?
There was a historical check. So yes. Well, we'll move over to Jefferson now. Jefferson, you have powered down the Luciola.
Yeah, and he stands up and he sort of stretches, puts his arms behind his back and pulls, and there's a massive crack as his aging limbs creak into action. He very slowly walks over to one of the side consoles, grabs his belt that's got his two guns on, straps it round, leans over because that was quite a lot of exertion, and the gravity is bizarrely strong for a moon that isn't spinning very fast. Pours himself a whiskey because he's fucking old. He's not exactly living for health anymore. Turns around and he sees out of his windscreen the sort of aged-looking Golden Rose, shakes his head and says to himself, well, that'll cost her a lot of money to fix. I will happily charge. And then turns and sees the other ship there. Don't know that one. Nope. Don't care. All right. Stretches again, and there's another loud crack from his chest. Oh, fuck. That one hurt. All right. Let's go. Let's see what this is. Fucking Dora making me leave one moon. Dipshit.
As you exit the ship, as the landing ramp comes down on the Luciola, you step out.
Jefferson Starship. What?
You are assuming that there is oxygen?
You know what? Yes, because I have something for this if there's not.
Okay. The ramp comes down and you slowly walk down it and you breathe in oxygen. It's a breathable atmosphere.
He gives a sigh of disappointment because he bought these exo bracelets after having to fly into space to save his idiot friend that died. And they've not once come in handy since. He's still wearing them, just in case, but they have never been used for their intended purpose.
Well, there could be chanced still to do so. No spoilers.
He taps them together to create a breathable atmosphere around himself anyway, just because why the fuck not?
He probably needs the extra oxygen content at this stage.
Yeah, well, quite.
What else did they do? Is it just...
They create a breathable atmosphere around the wearer. That's it. That's all it says.
Because what you do feel as you step off the Luciola is a very intense heat from the moon. The nearby sun, it's not too far away, it's warming this side of the moon and creating a very humid atmosphere.
Fucking Doran.
And as you step out onto the dust slash sand slash grit, you can't tell quite what it is. It whips up around you in a bit of a tempest and whips off away around the moon. You will get the impression there's not much life here.
Aside from the Golden Rose and this other ship that I don't recognize, what do I see?
Make a quick perception check.
You make a quick perception check. No, that's not how we do it anymore. That is a 10.
Okay. It's enough. You see just past the Golden Rose, through this kind of sandstorm tempest, there is a small wooden shack. You can make out this very, very small rectangular hut.
Okay. First thing I do is I look up at this other ship. I can kind of see shapes in the window and I just cock an eyebrow and give a shrug. I walk over towards the Golden Rose first.
So, going back to Rebirth and Hood, you see through the viewing port as you're strapping up this geriatric gentleman walking down the landing ramp of the ship that landed.
Whoa! Advanced in years, but very much capable-looking gentleman. Motherfucker.
Oh, do you see that geriatric-looking figure walking down from the ship?
I do. He doesn't look very capable. Shall we need some help?
He looks like he might need some sort of Zuma 3.
I swear to God, I'm going to shoot someone.
Hey, old man.
You need to speak louder.
Hey, old man.
I'm 35. Sorry. You wasn't a woman, old man. I do wish you'd said old woman. It would have been funnier, but fine.
I say old man.
I don't think he heard you.
You're still in your ship.
No, we're not. We got out, didn't we?
No. You geared up. That was all you did.
Oh, sorry.
Then we got distracted by something, and now here we are.
Rebook. Should we go outside and say hello to this old man?
Oh, yes. That would probably help. It was amusing you were trying to shout through the vacuum-proof window.
No, why would I do that? That'd be insane.
So you lower them up to the... What ship have you come in on?
The red one.
It would be the Dendu ship, HMS Dendu ship.
Yeah, HMS Dendu ship.
Okay, great. Yes.
I don't know if it was HMS, to be honest. It was definitely Dendu ship, though.
Did that survive? Was that taken out by the wetwork
team? Oh, no, it wasn't. Yeah, it was the other one.
The wetwork team did take out the crew, which included Beltrov, Darren, and the rest of your, I don't know, just the guys that followed but weren't good enough to join you. I'm pretty sure the scientist was on the Dendu ship. It was just left adrift in the Sol system, so it could have been recovered, so you could be on that.
Spoilers for anyone at all who's watching this before season 2.
Will they watching it, Thomas?
Visual medium.
Visual medium.
God bless it.
Yeah, fair enough. If they're listening to it out of order, then that's their fault, and I accept no responsibility or liability for spoilers.
I accept responsibility. I just don't care.
So the HMS or the other HMS? UMS? No.
Fuck HMS.
I mean, surely it would be DS Dendu ship, because that would be Dendu Starships, Dendu ship.
The DFS Dendu ship.
The DVDA Dendu ship.
Oh, no.
Well, my old nemesis.
So you pop the landing thing. I can't speak now. The ramp down on the DFS Dendu Dwarven ship. And you walk down onto the planet. Again, you feel this intense heat strike you. You feel like you just walked out into a desert, because you pretty much have. And there's sand whipping around. It's getting in your eyes. But yeah, you can see this lone figure walking towards the Golden Rose slowly. Slow, because he's old.
I have reduced his speed, so yeah, he is slow. But his hat and billowing greatcoat give him the look of an intentional slowness.
A refinement.
Intentional need for zero strength.
Hey, old man.
Hey, old man.
Yeah, he tans a little bit.
Yeah. Do you have any Verba's originals?
Rebook, no, what have I told you about taking sweets from strange old men?
Always.
I've got the chewable ones, but they will take out your teeth.
This is fair point. This man knows his Verba's originals.
I don't bind with hard candy. I don't have the patience for it. And what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Dora. That's it.
How much money does she owe you?
Obvious question, yes.
She pays me on time when I wanted to.
Wow.
She just wanted to know if I'd come out here. So I did.
Pays on time. How'd that get ended?
Todd Brown.
Who are you?
And I am Rubuk. One guard. I don't think I've ever said my surname before.
Rebook Rearguard.
Unguard. It's the entire thing. It's a Dwarven surname with Dendu forename. I don't think that fact ever came up at any point. My family were Dwarves. Backstory. It got resolved in a session.
Rebook Under Army. Gotcha. And you, your young sprite with the grenade launcher, I'm going to stay away from you as much as I can.
Hud racks the grenade launcher more out of habit than anything else. Oh, I'm Hud.
Noted and disturbed. I need to pause quickly because I can hear my son crying.
Is that in character?
It's a flashback.
Jefferson looks off into the distance.
It's canon.
After about 2 minutes of staring off into the distance, Jefferson's eyes refocus and he says, "Wait, hello, oh, son." Hud and Rebok, nice to meet you. I'm Jefferson. You probably knew that. I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, someone say what my
name. I have no idea who you are.
Yeah, let's go off the last lore check then with that. Hud, you do have a clue who the Epsilon Shift are. You might remember Pax and Damson. But you don't remember who Jefferson Knight is.
No, he will remember Pax because he met him.
Yeah. He might remember Pax. It was two years ago.
Wait, are those the guys that Pax and Damson were part of?
Yes, they were. I think he was their friend. Or at least associate.
Oh, so Hud makes a noise of vague recognition and kind of gestures over to Jefferson. Oh, right, so you're their Ringo.
I might shoot you. Just saying, I might shoot you. It's not a guarantee.
Hub raises an eyebrow and his shoulder mounted flamethrower just slowly swivels towards Jefferson.
I've had worse pointed at me. I've had nicer pointed at me, don't get me wrong. But I've had worse.
Can you say you're a really useful Entendu?
I didn't catch any of that.
Can you say you're a really useful Dendu?
No, I didn't actually catch it. I was just pretending that my old age meant that I didn't have to acknowledge what you said. But now you've repeated it, I don't want to.
That was a real deep cut. I love that.
I don't think you're funny. All right? I think you're a young upstart. I think he's a young upstart. I'm here to see what happened to Dora. And that's it.
This is all happening while there's quite a mid to large sandstorm unfurling around you. Can you all make a constitution saving throw?
11. Does my breathable atmosphere actually impact this?
I'm going to say no, because objects can go through it.
Can I ask, is this an exhaustion saving throw?
No.
Okay, cool.
Your special abilities do not apply here, young Padawan.
Can I ask if your natural ones are like contagious? Because,
Oh, yes.
First of the campaign, baby.
The tables have turned.
I've got 26.
Okay, so Hajoo will pass. The others will fail and take... It's only two piercing damage as the sand whipping around you quite sharply hits you in the face because you're not wearing any face gear or it's quite exposed. So it starts to like cut your neck a little bit. And you sort of think maybe it's time to move out of this situation.
This is abrasive and I don't just mean the conversation. Do we have a waypoint?
Well, there's a shed there and there's a ship there. I was going to go for the ship first because ships are better than sheds. And if Dora's not there, then I'll go for the shed. If you have a better idea, a different order you prefer to.
The old man makes a good point. We better go before it starts sundowning.
From what I've learned so far, probably best to stick together.
So, the rose, as you approach, it's seen better days. Not that it was that impressive to begin with. The sprayed plating is worn. It's peeling. You'd almost think looking at it, it was in disrepair and ready for scrap. The landing ramp is down without a care, and the dust and sand is whipping up through the opening, and you can see that it's collecting on the ramp.
I said to her, when my crew fixed it last time, warranty only stands if she looks after it. This does not count. She cannot claim it back.
What has she done to her? There's no way these vents are clean.
I'd say they're full of sand.
Absolutely. So abrasive.
Can Hutt do a cursory mechanics check on the ship just to see whether he can tell if the ship's been like either crashed, landed, or been parked really badly?
Are you doing this from the outside or are you going in?
From the outside initially. This is just like a quick check over.
Yeah, just do a quick mechanics check.
Maybe perception would be better. I don't know.
Yeah, perception's fine. Go for perception.
17.
You can see that the ship is actually lopsided and one of the landing gears is slightly, it's not fully extended. You get the impression it's been broken on landing.
Looks like you crash landed.
That's all you can tell from the outside. You might assume that it wasn't exactly the... It was a bumpy landing for sure. Or that there could have been a malfunction with the landing gear.
So Hutt's going to turn to the others and say, well, you didn't set her down right, but this is Dora we're talking about, so it could be a malfunction. She could have been under pressure or she could have just been drunk.
Are we taking bets?
If I had any money, then I would.
Yeah, easy money is on drunk.
Yeah, I guess we're all going to bet for drunk, so let's just skip that. I don't know, do you want to take a look around the ship or should we just fucking go to the shed?
I want to poke around the ship, and Hud's going to unsling his shotgun, and he's going to cautiously make his way inside.
So are you joining, guys? Or?
Yeah, Jefferson was going to watch him unsling his shotgun, think about it for a second, hand to disrupt a pistol, and then just let go. Don't necessarily need a gun. We'll find out. Onto the ship and go.
Possibly best to be prepared. Reba's going to take his cryo and his disruptor pistols out.
Okay. You make your way up the landing ramp into the old ship that two of you know very well. Like the back of your hand, really. As you walk in, you get a sense of... In fact, make a perception check as you walk into the initial corridor.
18 for Hud.
22 for Jefferson, who has also been on the ship before. He's fixed it.
Yes.
21 for Rebook.
Okay, so you immediately get the impression that this place is the former shadow of it, what it once was. It was messy and chaotic, but you know it to be full of life and laughter and joy. At the moment, it's eerily silent. All you can hear is the wind whipping up the grains of sand through the entrance you've just come in through. The sand, grit, whatever it is, just sort of settling slowly but surely over everything. And there's a good half a foot to wade through as you walk in. There are no footprints in this sand.
Jefferson's going to go towards the bridge, first of all. He has a specific thing he wants to check.
He's going to follow him.
Reboot's going to come along too.
But bizarrely, you feel like even though the sand is settling in the ship, it feels cleaner than it usually is. There are no bottles of beer, no bottles of rum knocking about. It just feels desolate. All the doors are open. You don't have to go through any automatic doors. And you come into the bridge, and again, it's just a feeling of emptiness.
Jefferson walks up to the captain's chair, leans down, and Hud and Rebook both hear a crack as he leans down, and he goes, "Ugh!" Then bangs the side of the chair, and the compartment that Dora hid her booze in falls open. Is there anything in it?
It is empty. Which you find bizarre.
Well, she's probably not dead.
What you do see as you bend down to the chair is a book on the chair, just laid flat.
He stands up, another crack. You're right. Right, two things. She's probably not dead, because if she died, there would still be booze in this chair. Well, if she didn't die here. So there's that. She definitely took the booze and left.
That point.
She clearly wasn't well, because there's a book in the chair.
Also strange of her to leave the ship, of all the things that she loves in the universe.
Booze and ship, yeah.
Booze and ship, in that order.
I just want to go into the Hamilton song, but change it from guns and ships to booze and ship.
What does the book say?
Do you pick it up?
Yeah, Hud's going to pick it up.
You pick it up and you open it up, and on the first page, in frankly terrible handwriting, almost childlike, it says... This is not for creepy vent dwellers, and especially not for criminals known as Dumas. Keep out. Dora's diary. Diary spelt dairy.
Hud just sighs and then turns the page.
What is written in the diary is simply the word Hud. Over and over and over again, as you leaf through it. Right until the end. Until there is this horrendous drawing of Dora with a strap on, rogering
Hud sighs deeply, and he snaps the book shut with one hand. He stares off into the middle distance for a moment and says, "Gentlemen, could you both take a big step back for me?"
We big obliges.
Yep, sure, fine. Can I take two or three small ones?
And Hud is then going to gently replace the book on the captain's chair, take a step back, and he's going to use a blast from his shoulder-mounted flamethrower on both.
Talk me through the mechanics of the flamethrower.
Is this part of the gear that came with your character class, or did I sell it to you?
I think you sold it to me. Oh, it's a 15-foot cone, DC 13, dexterity save, or 3d6 fire damage. So considering they're both inanimate objects that can't move.
Yeah, I'm just going to roll to see whether the flame catches on anything. So yeah, you blast the book and the chair. The chair, having padding in it, starts to set alight and stay alight after you've finished with your shot. The rest of the flame doesn't hit any nearby terminals or anything. The chair just remains on fire, and the book in the middle just sizzles away.
That, I would also like to say, was intentional damage and is not covered by the warranty either. I didn't actually give her a warranty, by the way.
It sort of brings up quite a lot of black smoke and starts to fill the room.
Breathable atmosphere. Thank you very much.
Hud is going to step out of the room while the smoke clears.
Hud, what was that?
Never mind. Never ask me about it again.
Could have been something useful in that book.
Believe me, there wasn't.
Could have been something deep, deep, deep and insightful in that book. And we'll never know. Penetrating into her very soul.
Nothing of value was lost. Hud subconsciously pads at some of the many pouches and holders that are festooning his armor, and he's just like, both Rebook and Jefferson can hear him mutter, "Armor-piercing rounds. Armor-piercing rounds. Where the fuck are my armor-piercing rounds?"
They're very expensive from what I understand.
Deeply inefficient to make.
That was the adamant bullets, not the armor piercing. Significantly cheaper and much easier to make.
Has the smoke peered in the prow?
Yeah, it takes a good few minutes, but the fabric sizzles away, and the cushions below just remains a charred book, and now a very uncomfortable looking captain's chair.
Rebook, do you think you can? You still got your way with computers?
Not so much with computers at all. That was not, and then everything with mechanics. I think they'd be very well linked in this day and age. But no, two very different skills.
Jefferson, you any good with computers?
Not so much with computers. No, not really my bag. There was a guy. D4 was his name. D4, T4, if you had to full name him. But I'm pretty sure he died 50 years ago.
Jesus, why is everything a story with old people? I'm going to check the computers and see if Dora's left any digital messages for us.
Okay, so you turn on the power, and immediately the emergency power comes on. Seems like it's on its last legs. There's no messages that you can see, but if you make a quick computers check.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's a 19.
You can see that there is no sorium core. The star drive's been removed, basically. No juice. So this ship would not fly.
Can I run a quick diagnostic to see if it was ejected or if it's been taken out manually?
I think you'd have to go down to the engine room to find that out.
Fair enough. Is there anything in that case, like a flight record or anything like that?
You know what, with the 19, I'd say that there is. You can see that the flight path was from Eldor straight to here. There wasn't much before that. And you get the impression that she'd been in one place for quite some time before this, which isn't usual for Dora.
That's strange. was this where she was spotting for, or was it somewhere on the way?
You can see that it was a direct course for here.
That's odd. Seems a little out of the way for Dora.
Yeah, so you know that this is way past the outer rim. You know, this is uncharted territory, really. You didn't even know there was any of hospitable planets or moons out here. And even further, moons usually come with planets. You noticed on the way in, there were no planets.
The HUD just sort of drums his fingers on the control panel, and more to himself than anyone else. So why the hell would she bring us out to this glorified asteroid?
Can Jefferson look back at the hollow message that was sent, the invite, and look for a date stamp?
Yeah. You might have to. There is no immediate date stamp that you can see. It's not obvious. You can try and open it up and figure out when the message was recorded.
That's what I'm looking for.
Do a quick computer check.
This is not a strong suit. Oh, I've got a natural 20, and that's a 19.
Yeah, you open up and you can see that the message was roughly recorded around 6 weeks ago. So not too long, because the journey took you a good 2 to 3 weeks to get out this far.
In the flight record, is there a date for when the ship reached here?
Good question. No, there's no record of that. You can just see from A to B. It's not date stamped.
Well, guessing from the fact that she's taken the booze, I think it's reasonable to assume that she's still alive, or at least she was when she pitched down here. Shall we check out the engine room? I want to see why this tub doesn't have a sorium core anymore.
If there's anything mechanical to do there, I can probably help with that.
Yeah, let's get your eyes on it, Big Book. Oh, man. Oh, he's staring off into the distance again.
I'm going to say that Jefferson is continuing to stare off into the distance. Like, they can leave the room and he's just staring.
HUD's going to pin a note to him that says, gone to the engine room.
Okay, so you head on down. Again, pretty similar to the rest of the ship. It's just a very light layer of dust settling throughout. You head down the ladder to the engine room. And again, there's just nothing really of any note. It's empty.
Are there any computers or anything in this room?
Yeah, there's a computer that can give you an idea of levels of power and to maintain the sorium core.
Okay, Rebook, you want to have a look around and see if there's any kind of physical or mechanical evidence of down?
Yeah, Rebook's going to have a look around to see if there's any mechanical way that the core, was it removed? Was it torn out? Did it explode? I mean, probably not explode, because that means the ship and probably a large part of the galaxy around it went up. But can you figure out if it's like sabotage, or if it's been uninstalled on purpose? Or if it's actually there, has it been taken out?
Yeah, so go for a mechanics check.
Hopefully I'll get better than that. Natural one. Oh, not massively. That was a 3, so 10.
You can see the core has been removed. You can see no way it's been forced out, nor can you tell whether it's been ejected on purpose or by accident. So it's just not there.
What has gone, Hood? Disappeared. Whether they took it out in atmosphere or ejected it before landing, or perhaps they landed first and took it with them, I cannot tell.
And just as you're telling Hood this, Reboot, the emergency power, there's a sudden doom as that powers down as well.
Up on the bridge, Jefferson goes, oh shit. Well, where'd they go? Oh yeah. Dora. Ooh, someone burnt her chair. Chihuahua like that. And then he sees the note in his chest. Oh, it's Reebok and HUD. I thought they said Reebok and Hood. This makes just as much sense. Right. Then he heads down to the engine room.
Yeah, you join It's a ladder down. So do you want to make a quick dexterity check with disadvantage?
One. Whoa.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Is that what we're doing now?
It's turned into a PSA.
Is this a check or a save?
Just a check.
It's an 18.
You slide down the ladder. You don't even use the rungs. And you plop quite deftly onto the floor of the engine room. It's much to Hood's and Reboot's surprise.
And then to absolutely no one, he just says, that's how we do that. Oh, my knees. Well, not again. Hood, what's going on? What are we up to?
Investigate and see what happened to the ship. But the core seems to have been gone, been taken, been removed, perhaps taken with. It's hard to tell. Also, backup systems are offline, so I don't think we'll have much luck with computers now. Perhaps we check the shed instead?
Oh, yeah, shed. Oh, you were saying I wasn't going to go digging through the toilets.
Oh, no. Shed, not shed.
Sounded like the same thing to me. That's fine, though. Let's go. Shed?
No, shed. Chet.
What?
Chet.
He turns to Hood. Hud. Sorry. I'm getting confused now. Turns to Hud. What did he say, Hood? Are we going to the shed? Or the toilet?
Just follow us and try not to trip over anything. And Hud's going to walk out the ship.
He pulls out a little hip flask and takes a sip. No promises.
You come off the ship and head down the ramp towards the shack. It's like a small wooden outhouse, like that of a toilet that would have been used hundreds, thousands of years previously.
Like I said, shit.
It sits really out of place on this moon. It's around 100 feet past the rose. It looks like a small breeze could topple it. The wood is rotting. The door looks like it's slightly off its hinges. And as you approach it, you can see there's a sort of a crude poster nailed to the front of it, flapping in the wind.
I've learnt my lesson. I'm never reading anything again. One of you guys can look at it.
Reaper's going to pick it up before Hud has a chance to burn it.
Jefferson goes to grab it like a second later than Reaper's taking it. Ah, shit. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
So as you rip it down, Reboot, you make out the poster has a shape of a small pinky finger pointing towards a circle, a golden circle that you can only presume is the moon that you're standing on. It's like a golden brown moon or whatever you want to perceive. It's as though a child drew it. And above the drawing is written in, again, terrible handwriting, almost illegible, Dora's infinite birthday. And over the infinite, there is an asterisk. And make a quick perception check.
23.
Yeah, so you have a little look for a corresponding asterisk, and as you turn it over, there is a very small message written on the bottom. It says, "A gentleman never asks a girl her age, and as I will clearly live forever, is there any point?" Question. And there's a smiley face.
I'm going to say 33.
You know, Jefferson, that she's an Eldorai.
Maybe 40 then.
33.
But with the alcohol abuse, going on 333.
Yeah, exactly that.
Hud's just going to turn to the other two and say, I'm not in the mood to follow or his bullshit breadcrumbs. You guys try and work this out. I'm going to see if there's any other trace of her around here. And he's going to do a survival check to see if she's left any trail.
Yeah, check.
It's a 15.
15, you know, the storm has sort of died down a little bit now. There's still sand whipping around. You can't really make out any footprints or traces of anybody being here recently. But you get the impression the storm probably would have wiped any trace out. The only thing that you can see, really, is the ship, the Rose, and the shack in front of you.
Should we go into the shack? And he turns to Rebook and Hood. If Love Shack starts playing when we walk in there, it's what she wants. And he walks through the door.
As you open the door, it completely falls off its hinges. It crashes to the ground.
That is not what I expected. I expected Love Shack, if I'm very honest.
The shack is barely big enough to fit two people. But as you peer inside, Love Shack does not play, and nor should it ever.
Jefferson starts humming Love Shack. What are we doing?
Ah, he's a fan of the oldies.
You take 10 fire damage. Just because.
Yeah.
Because you have.
I will not. I refuse.
So as you peer inside, there's a small screen atop a metal stand. And in front of that screen, there's a short pole jutting out of the ground. And next to that, there's also just a small rug on the floor. You can make out that the floor is metal.
Does the pole move?
Pole does not move.
Just a pole.
Rebook's going to check it. Anything under the rug.
The rug? Okay, yeah. Make an investigation check.
Oh, not terrible. 16.
16, cool. So as you walk in and you lift up the rug, there's a slight clicking noise as you walk through the doorframe and the screen flickers into life. And just as you check under the rug, you see a small hatch. And the hatch scrawled across it. Start door. But as you see this, a familiar toothless face of the vagabond you know as Dora flicks onto the screen. Hello, you cunts. She's clearly in her usual state of intoxication. Welcome to my birthday party. I knew you'd make it, Dumas. And she points outwardly towards an empty space right near Hood's left shoulder. She changes position. Hood, it would never work between us, so don't ask. Rebook, mate, stop watching me in the shower. I also invited the Epsilon Shift. They apparently saved the galaxy or some shit as well. But they're a bunch of wankers, so hopefully they didn't show up. Oh, apart from that Jefferson Knight. Woof! He's a silver fox and he appeals to my daddy issues. Anyway. And the anyway, she shouts ridiculously loud. It almost echoes throughout the entire moon. On to the festivities. I wanted to do something a little bit different. So let the games begin. And she kind of puts her hands up into the air. And there you see in both her hands, there's bottles of rum. This kind of gesture lasts a ridiculous amount of time, like a really long pause as she looks about. It almost seems like something should have happened there that didn't. Then she goes, now, this, and she points down towards where the pole coming out of the ground is. This is a fingerprint scanner. Here releases the fusion star drive for the Rose, which is the only way off this moon. And you sort of pause at this because you've arrived on two ships.
Hud pauses for a second and then his eyes go wide and he just says, no, 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 and then he turns and he runs out of the room.
As you do this, there is a low rumble from the moon, and everything starts to vibrate. Soft hum. So, Hood, as you run out of the shack, you can see in the distance. Make a quick perception check, actually.
A 9.
A 9. You can't really make this out in the distance, but there is a bright light that appears.
He's just going to keep running towards his ship. As he's running, he's going, you bitch.
So you probably make it around a halfway to the ships. You get to where the Rose was before a rain of missiles hits the Luciola and the HMS Dendu ship and completely obliterates both of them immediately. Can you all make a dex saving throw? Hood, yours is going to be slightly higher because you're closer to the ships.
Got a 17.
Oh, natural one.
Hey, Aaron.
He's infected us.
Two in a session.
Yes. So you take... Good job that I'm the GM, right? Because I rolled low on the damage. You take 3 points of fire damage. And Jefferson, you take 1 point of fire damage. The shack above your heads, Rebook and Jefferson, completely rips off and flies away across the moon. The Luciola and the HMS Dendu ship are in tatters. And there's a huge burst of flame that comes up from both of them.
Jefferson takes a hip flask from out his coat pocket, picks a sip. Well, I did like her. Didn't think I was going to kill her. But here we are.
Yes, as lines go.
Remember, I tell you, and he leans in, like, unnecessarily close to Reboot. I tell you, Reebok, the number of times I fixed that scrap heap of hers, and this is what she does? She owes me. She owes me, Reebok. Or are you Hood? But I don't care. She owes me.
Hut's just lying there in the sand, completely silent.
The video of Dora keeps playing. She's babbling on. Now the scanner only responds to one finger. And that's right. She pulls her pinky, her severed pinky, out of her pocket and quickly sucks it once. This beauty. Now you can see the pinky. It looks like it's seen better days. There's little bits of bone peeking through the rotten flesh. You have no idea how it's lasted this long. You can only assume that she's had it, like, pickled in some way. Fun, right? Another pause. I can only assume you're super excited. Now, you beautiful bastards, come and get me. And she points towards the rug and hatch below. The hatch slides open.
Let's get your friend Hood. We're going to go kill Dora.